Welcome to Luna Tech, the darker side of tech, for Friday, December 17th. Not sure about the legality of all this, but go right ahead. We don't know if they're going to sue us or not, but you know, if they do, well, we won't be bringing you our podcast.
We are on Kazaa K++ and Kazaa K++ user.
Yeah. Hi, welcome to Luna Tech, the darker side of tech. This is a program, part of the Luna Tech podcast network. And we'd like to just start off by saying that this is an abbreviated version of our normal Luna Tech, the darker side of tech series, because we are releasing this on openpodcast.org, and they require that generally for the podcast to be about 5 minutes, 10 minutes long or so. We did release our pilot version of our main broadcast, which is the Luna Tech podcast, and that was 15 minutes long. However, we have formatted it down so that it only took up less than 10 megabytes. So, in fact, so that we could email it, but also to save bandwidth for Open Podcast. Normally, we'd bring you some tales from the darker side of tech out of the dark tech library, but today I'm going to just read you something that I wrote, and we're going to run about 15 minutes today as normal, but it'll be less than 10 megabytes, so don't worry. I'm going to read to you something that I wrote that I submitted to Engadget.com for their It was their day four of Engadget's 5 days of holiday giveaway, and it was to win the Nokia's Engage QD. And to win this, you had to tell them your most embarrassing gadget-related story. And it says that we're going to leave it pretty open-ended, and to go ahead and let it all out. So I submitted a story about me back in the day when I was in 5th grade / 6th grade. So, and it really wasn't an embarrassing story per se for me. However, I took a little twist on it and made it an embarrassing story, but for some other people involved instead. And by the end of it, it turned into pretty much kind of like a manifesto kind of thing that I didn't really expect it to turn into, but since I was writing it, I got so involved with it that it ended up turning into that. So I hope you like it either way. Now, I'm not so sure how embarrassing this was, but now that I look back on it, I can see how it could be. Not for me, but for everyone else, whether they know it or not. The story is more of a hackerish moment, and it deals with the total negative connotations associated with hackers in general. If you are offended by this story, I apologize first, but at the same time, I suggest that anyone who reads this and is offended might take a serious look at themselves and at the very point I'm trying to make. When I was in 5th grade, by the way, I'm only 21 now, I was one of the first classes to be able to take a new course working with computers. In this class, we worked on Apple IIe's and Apple IIgh computers. But in the library, there were these two circle tables with 5 or 6 IBM computers on each of them, and they were running Windows 3.11 nonetheless. These were the ones really to be working on, because these could play real games, such as Encarta Maze, which is an educational game branded into Encarta Online Dictionary, instead of those Apple ones that came on those 5 1/4 discs. These computers could also run the internet via Netscape, of course. Now, these computers would freeze up quite frequently. I think they upgraded sometime when I was in 6th grade to Windows 95, perhaps. Anyway, they would freeze all the time. Now, I thought I was some big shot computer guru who knew everything about technology due to my use of my Commodore Colt and my 802.86 computer at home. So the librarian, who most students quite frankly despised, knew nothing, and when the computers would freeze up, a simple press of the power button on the computer or a quick flip of the power strip readily solved the problem. This wasn't good enough for me. See, I wanted to be able to prevent the problem from happening instead of just knowing how to recover every time it did happen. So I proceeded to use what any computer knowledgeable person would do, the 3-finger salute, known as Control-Alt-Delete. And I'd use this method to end the process that was dealing out all the trouble, and it would eliminate the lockup. I finally got around to demonstrating this method to the librarian, who one day rushed over again, like so many times before, to eagerly get her finger on the power button. I dove in between her and the computer to stop the atrocity I was about to witness. After getting a very mean look that I really couldn't tell if it was deliberate or it was just her everyday demeanor, I promptly explained the method I knew of how to fix the lockup. She was baffled that I, a 6th grader, could know anything about these darn machines beyond what we were taught to be able to do, or rather, not to do, in our computer class. Later that day, I was taken out of one of my classes and escorted to the principal's office by a man I didn't recognize. Maybe it was a policeman, I had no idea. I waited there for what I remember to be about 50 minutes. Don't know why I remember that. But anyway, finally, the principal, a secretary, the computer teacher, and the librarian entered the room and sat down at the small round conference table on the other side of the office with me. The man who I didn't know waited outside the door. They proceeded to ask me questions which I don't remember, but I know that they had nothing to do with what I would later find out why I was there. The computer teacher started to explain to me that when the computer network, a LAN, pushing Control-Alt-Delete could mess up the entire network. First, this seemed totally false to me. And then I started thinking of ways I could actually use Control-Alt-Delete to mess up their precious LAN, and I couldn't think of any. It's not that I wanted to create any damage, I just wanted to try to validate her statement. She asked me how I could know about Control-Alt-Delete in the first place. I was trying hard not to laugh. It was like she asked me how I could ever know about the start menu, or how I could ever know that the sky was blue. I guess they all sensed my disgust by my smirk and jumped to the conclusion that I was thinking something malicious. The principal spoke up and told me that he doesn't know why or what I was trying to do to the system, but that any damage caused would be my fault and that I would be punished for it. Now, I thought to myself, were they just looking for a scapegoat for the recent network problems that I had nothing to do with? Or what? So, I still knew that I had done nothing wrong, so I decided it couldn't hurt to explain why shutting down the computer by pulling the power cord out wasn't a good idea. I had experience on my own computer with something called lost file allocations. This term is rarely used anymore, and generally most people, even those in the tech world, don't know what I'm talking about. Lost file allocations, or lost file clusters / chains, were a result of the disk file table becoming corrupted, or a result of a virus sometimes. Either way, improper shutdown of a computer did not result directly in lost file allocations, but I thought it sounded good at the time, so that's what I said. Everyone in the room had a blank stare on their face, and the computer teacher informed me that that was impossible. For this to occur that way, let alone have lost file allocations at all on these computers. I've had prior to that conversation ran scan disk and check disk and confirmed that there were indeed lost file allocations existing, and I fixed them via check disk /F, of course. So I was like, okay, and still didn't see anything that I did wrong by showing how to end the process causing the trouble. So they convened outside the door and talked about me in whispers I could not hear. The computer teacher and librarian happened to be continuing the discussion of me as they entered the office again. So, do you think he knows enough to be dangerous to our network? The librarian whispered. Yes. Make sure that we watch him whenever he is around the computers, the computer teacher replied. From that moment on, I knew that I possessed a knowledge that would generally be considered dangerous and that few people would understand. I knew that trying to help, truthfully and innocent that it may be, will always make me a terrorist in the back of the minds of the ignorant. Was I embarrassed? Hardly. Should they have been? Well, yes. But more importantly, are they? Sadly, them and the world, though their faces should all be red and their minds should not be so closed, are not embarrassed even the slightest. It is this way because we are the threat. I am a threat. To what exactly? Not to security. Not to privacy. Not to moral behavior. I am a threat to the intellectually blind and to the fear-mongering media and politicians. We are the ammunition in a battle we did not cause, we did not participate in, and we do not endorse. Embarrassed America? Are your faces red? Embarrassed media? Are your faces red? Embarrassed world? Are your faces red? If hackers had a common physical trait, America, you would be the racist. The media, you would be racist. The world, you would be racist. Dear America, your partisan and racist fears and propaganda are the threat. Dear media, your partisan and racist fears and propaganda are the threat. Dear world, your partisan and racist fears and propaganda are the threat. I am a hacker. We are hackers. I am not embarrassed. We are not embarrassed. Thank you. And again, that was a piece that I wrote for the Engadget Day 4 of the 5 days of holiday giveaway to win the Nokia Engage QD. However, after I wrote it, I realized that it was a lot bigger than what I intended it to be. So I decided that I would read it in the Lunatech, the Darker Side of Tech podcast, which you received through openpodcast.org. And to see if anybody has any comments about this or has any more things to add to this, and just generally tell me what you thought. You can email us at lunatechpodcast@gmail.com and also visit our site, which is lunatech.blogspot.com, for we'll have show notes up there about our other podcasts and about where we'd like to go with the Luna Podcast Network. Thank you for tuning in to Luna Tech, the Darker Side of Tech. If you'd like the show notes for this podcast, you can find them at our site, lunatech.blogspot.com. I'm Halo for Luna Tech Podcast Network. Sue us or not, but you know, if they do, well, we won't be bringing you our podcast.
We are Kazaa K++ and Kazaa K++ user.
Yeah.